The Football Sack.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack podcast, The Sack on Sunday. Man, it is good to be back for 2012. My name is Matt Greenlaw. Across the studio from me on the switchboard there is Supernova. G'day, Pete.
G'day, g'day.
Thank you for joining us on the Football Sack podcast.
No worries. I haven't really gone anywhere, but some people thought that you were actually dead that you haven't been on here on the Sack on Sunday for a while.
I was actually saying thank you for joining us on the podcast to the listeners.
Oh, to the listeners. Oh, but, okay. Well, okay.
But thank you as well.
Listeners, hello.
No, Pete, thank you for joining me on the show and controlling the board over there. You do a great job, and but so do all the listeners by tuning in via iTunes and the various ways that they can tune in.
And the Twitter sphere. People talking on the Twitter sphere.
Everyone.
Thank you very much.
We're in a very happy mood at the moment because it's New Year. Have you set your resolutions?
I'm still writing mine out.
Still writing them out?
Still writing mine out.
It's about a week in.
It's a long list.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Do you have any football resolutions?
Like I say, it's a long list. long list.
Right. Congratulations on your new role.
Thank you.
Because you're looking good over there in your Pele Sports polo.
Thank you. And shorts. I've got the Pele Sports shorts on as well, yeah.
What's the role that you've got?
I am now their social media manager.
Yeah, great.
Pretty big gig. Pele Sports. Fairly new brand across Australia, and there's 7 A-League players at the moment currently wearing our boots.
Casey Wehrman, I think, is the biggest one.
Thiago Calvano, Ben Kennedy, Enrique, Daniel from Wellington.
That's enough. You've got a good memory. You've only been doing
John
the
Hutchinson
job for
a week. John Hutchinson from 6. Matt Simon soon, Brad Porter soon.
Don't announce that. Are you allowed to announce
that? I can announce
it. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Pele Sports Australia, for those of you who don't know, we've run a competition through them recently, and we've also announced the winners on our website, footballsack.com. I'm happy to announce that the winner of the Facebook competition is Angus Morrissey.
Well done, Angus.
Good on you, Angus.
Good work.
Well done. He entered the best response to our question, what was your best moment in the Hyundai A-League?
What was his response? What did he put down as his best moment in the A-League?
It was, I can't give you word for word, verbatim, what he wrote, but it was about how impactful the Brisbane Roar losing at Kogra to Sydney FC was and what that meant for the game.
Kudos. So, from my understanding, he's won himself a $110 pair of futsal boots and 2 t-shirts.
Yes.
One futsal top and a regular tee, which is pretty decent. So
some great gear that the Football Sack is giving away via Pele.
Well done.
Okay, stay tuned for more competitions and whatever throughout the year.
Definitely.
It's the new year. It's 2012. The world's ending at the end of the year, so we may as well give out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the doomsday clock, it's ticking away, so it's almost the end of the year.
That's probably why Big Wednesday happened, because they thought, you know, we've got to get in as many games as we can by the end of 2012.
I like that idea. I like that idea.
Put them all in one day. Yeah, how many games have we had in the past, like, 10 days? At least, you know.
Too many.
15, 20.
Way too many.
20 games?
I've been to 3 games myself. Mm-hmm. I went up to Brisbane for the game. I went to the Sydney Heart game on the 22nd. Was in Brisbane for the New Year, and then I was on the Central Coast for the game on Wednesday, and then today I'm at the Sydney game. I've just been to too many games.
You were at the Sydney game as well?
Yeah, I was at that Sydney-Melbourne Heart game.
Yesterday. Oh, the Melbourne Heart, yeah. That's a lot of games.
It is. I moved around.
I watched every single game in the big Wednesday.
Kudos to you.
Marathon.
Kudos.
I was very happy. And I was very pleased, very happy to be Twittering the games. I haven't done that much.
Yeah.
I think I did 3 games there. Great to have all the interaction with you guys, our listeners.
Biggest question, did you break Twitter?
No.
By tweeting too much?
Surprisingly not. I made my tweets really, you know, great so that I didn't have to write 10. I made one as good as 10 would be.
Interesting.
Or I'm just lazy.
Interesting tactic. Well, let's move on to some football.
Totally.
It's football.
Last night... Well, this is obviously the Sack on Sunday. If you're listening during the week, we're recording on Sunday, and we're talking about last night being Saturday. So last night, Mehmet Durakovic, obviously being fired, new coach or interim
fired.
Coach.
It's such a harsh term.
You are fired.
It's like Donald Trump just rocked up. You're fired. No, it didn't really happen.
Well, it was a 2-1 win to Melbourne Victory under Kevin Muscat, his one and only game in charge of the club. He won.
He can walk out of the club happy.
Yeah.
One win.
So that was against Newcastle Jets.
Jets actually scored all three of the goals.
They were all own goals, weren't they? Well, no, the two of them from Bjorn were
own goals by Bjorn, and then Newcastle Jets getting a goal right at the end there. Bjorn getting the assist, and Ryan Griffiths tucking it home. So there you go. Three goals by Newcastle, and they still lost.
They lost the game. Oh, well. What's going on there with Jets?
With Jets, things just aren't working out. They're just not talking. I also have an interesting theory here whereby they were wearing their away jersey, their black and white, and it just didn't work out for them. If they were wearing their red and blacks or their red and dark blues, it might have looked a bit better for them.
they still would have lost, but they would have looked better losing,
unlike Melbourne Victory, who couldn't wear their home kits because it clashed, apparently, with both of Newcastle jerseys, so they had to wear their away kit at home.
See, that's
it just confused everyone.
That's really kind of annoying for them, I guess.
Yeah, but
they're getting a use out of their fluoro green.
It is true, and they do glow in the dark. So if the lights do ever go off at Etihad, they glow in the dark and keep on
playing. They've got the upper hand.
They do. They can keep on going. Yeah. So
they'll find their player, find their man.
Yeah, without a doubt. they do welcome a new coach, Jim Magilton, to the gig at Melbourne Victory.
Jim.
He's formerly with Ipswich Town and Queen's Park Rangers. Both teams at the time, they were going through managers faster than they go through toilet paper, so not the best credentials for him. But when he was playing, he was a midfielder, nice passing game, so fingers crossed we get to see that with Melbourne because they deserve it.
Yeah.
If not, all the players need to take a look at themselves and work out whether or not they're actually playing the way that they are paid. Because if they're not, get out of the team.
There's been a bit of backlash as to this announcement as to who the coach is. And he's another Anglo coach, possibly not going to be playing the right sort of football. But no, Jim Magilton.
Magilton.
You prepped me before the show. I still got it wrong.
That's right. Magilton.
Jim Magilton. That he will play a passing game.
Yeah. Well, he was in the stands for that game against Newcastle. Got to see his team score none of the goals. So he's excited. He's ready for that attacking style of football that won't be there, despite the fact that Archie Thompson continues to fall over at a gust of wind. There was a very interesting red card in that game, which did damper the mood for Newcastle supporters. It was Tarek Ulrich getting himself sent off. Supposedly as a last man, he did slide in on Danny Allsop. He did get the ball, all the ball, and nothing but the ball. But the referee saw differently, gave himself a red card to Tarek, and Tarek just walked off gentlemanly and
said no more.
Kudos to him for that, but I still think it was the wrong decision. But the biggest moment of that game was actually the banner that the supporters held up pre-game. Now, the banner read...
What did it read?
It read...
What did it read?
It read, we want 11 soldiers and a commander, not 12 losers. Now, the biggest issue here is...
Are they calling Kevin Musket a loser?
Well, I think that normally the 12th man is the crowd. So, are they calling themselves losers? If so, that's a bit mean on themselves for one.
They're self-deprecating.
But I have to say, thank you very much for making a banner that didn't have spelling mistakes or make it look like it was done by a 12-year-old. So... Well done to Melbourne Victory.
Well done. Stepping up their fandom into 2012, as we are doing as well on the Football Sack podcast, The Sack on Sunday.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Yeah, we're back. Love that little sting that we've got there. It's great. Still using it. Maybe we could get a new one.
We should make a new one.
For 2012, maybe with some, you know, fireworks and... Can you get on that?
Mario Balotelli, let's call him up.
He's got some in his old apartment.
Well, he has been casually seen driving around town with $5,000 sitting on the car seat next to him, like in the passenger seat.
We could borrow that
$5,000. Now,
Invested in some fireworks?
When he got stopped by a policeman to say, why are you driving around with $5,000 sitting next to you? He was just like, because I'm rich and I can.
Because so, I'm Mario Balotelli.
Sharing is really caring, mate.
He would probably then offer some. Do you want some?
Bring it over, Balotelli. Bring it over.
He's probably that naive that he would then go, you can have some if you'd like.
Well, I think so.
To the copper.
So what we'll do is I think we'll have Balotelli watch. And we'll keep an eye on Balotelli. And if something does happen and he does decide that he's going to send over some money, we'll celebrate.
Hmm. Yeah. We'll have a sponsor party. The football sack.
Balotelli sponsors the football sack. I think that is a really, really good work.
Why always the football sack?
Why always us? Let's move on to the A-League, the other game which did happen on Saturday night, Adelaide versus Brisbane Roar. First half, well, I fell asleep. It was pouring rain, though.
So you woke up. The rain woke up.
I woke up when it was.
Spit it on your head. So spit it on my head. What's
that? I'm like, whoa, hello. The goal from Brisbane Roar came from Matt Smith, providing the assist, or not really an assist, a through ball to Rocky Visconti, who took on his defender quite nicely, passed it to the penalty spot. Issy Nakajimi Ferran is waiting there, slots it home past Eugene Galakovic, 1-0 Brisbane Roar. Then in interesting controversy,
That's okay, it's a new year, we can mumble words away.
Fantastic. Yes, interesting moments. We had Matt Smith again involved in probably the wrong area.
Controversial.
The pitch is a bit slippery, so he's trying to get back to block Sergio van Dijk from scoring. He's tripped over. And
mate,
Van Dijk's fallen over the top of him.
Oh.
Referee said penalty.
That's a penalty.
Penalty.
Is it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, even if it's not.
It wasn't obstructing play. He fell over.
Sergio fell over.
What referee should be doing is consulting with his linesman, because his linesman was in a better position. There needs to be better communication between linesman and referee. But
on a penalty, it's a split-second decision. You can't. Then go. You can't blow the whistle. You've got to blow the whistle. Then
no, you
consult.
Blow the whistle. Consult. Find out what he says. If it was a penalty, give it. If not, say a drop ball inside the penalty box. Yeah, do it.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that, but I would still prefer to see referees making the decision and people just accepting that a bit more than we have been doing
year. I just really want one round of the A-League where we don't talk about the referees being the centre of attention and instead we just worry about the football.
But maybe we've had that really for nice. 1 week. Big Wednesday? Do we have that on Big Wednesday? There wasn't really a refereeing decision, because you notice it when we are talking about it, but when we're not talking about it, you don't notice it. Listeners, have we had a week of football in which the referee hasn't influenced a decision, influenced a game?
If there is, tweet us.
Yeah, let us know.
Twitter.com/thefootballsack there.
Yeah.
So keep in contact. Find out if there has been a week whereby we haven't had the referee the centre of attention.
Because we're genuinely interested as to whether that's happened.
The day that we are recording, the sack on Sunday, we have three games of the A-League happening. Sydney FC, Central Coast Mariners, Sydney Football Stadium.
I'm there. Are you there?
I'm there.
Us being Sydney FC fans, I'm sure you're aware with our heavy Sydney FC bias. We apologise for that, but we are true Sydney FC fans and we are headed along to this match. I'll be doing the match report for that, so it's probably up by now.
Cool.
Having got this up.
Well, it was a good read.
Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Yeah, I really
liked what Levitka said at the end of that top class.
Firstly, I would like to say thank you to the fans for coming.
For coming today. Thank you, referee and ball boys.
Opposition played good football. That's how every...
that's every press conference.
Every press conference starts.
You don't even have to turn up. That's what he's going to say. But looking at Central Coast Mariners, how will they bounce back? They don't have Matt Simon anymore. He has signed off to the K-League... with Robbie Cornthwaite.
What do you mean, how will they bounce back?
Well, okay.
They're on the top of the league. Even though they've lost Simon, yeah, they've lost him, but they're not bouncing back from anywhere.
Well, the thing is, he's a key player. He's the highest goal scorer of this season for Central Coast Mariners, 7 goals next to his name. The last game against Melbourne Victory, which happened on Big Wednesday, he did score the first goal and the second goal.
And the second, yeah.
So it's a big hole to fill up.
Is he Central Coast Mariners broish in that when they lose him, they lose 5 in a row? I would love that to be the case for Sydney FC's sake.
Well,
but in terms of Central Coast Mariners,
I have a sneaky feeling that it could be a bit of an upset here, simply because Bernie Abena Issa is good.
Who's he going to pass to?
I don't think he's going to be able to play for that full 90 minutes with such pressure under him. But we do have Danny McBreen, the world's worst shooter, who's going to be sitting there in that number 10 role to help out Bernie Abena Issa at every opportunity. If he doesn't hit a ball into row Z, he doesn't get paid. So he tries to hit that quota every single week.
It's like when you've got your hammer at the circus or at a fete or fair. You've got to hit it as high as you can. Hit the bell.
Yeah, that's pretty much what McGreen tries to do every single
row
week.
Row Z being optimum.
Done.
Bonus paycheck.
Yeah, right there. Luckily, we do have Wellington Phoenix versus Perth Glory FC at Westpac Stadium to keep us entertained. Well, Wellington at home, they have good form. Perth Glory travelling, not really good form. So you have to say that Wellington should get the results here, despite the fact that this is no longer the distance derby.
It's not, well, it's not the biggest not the official, distance derby. Yeah. Pete, tell me more about this, because I do enjoy calling the Perth Glory Wellington Phoenix match the distance derby, coined by, I believe, Mark Bosnich. Was that right? Is Mark Bosnich coined that? Or was it us? It was one or the other.
It was one or the other. Let's just say it was Bosnich, because Bosnich is a good friend.
Bosnich, yeah, he got that.
So let's just say... So
why is that? It's a Russian team.
Apparently it's in Russia now.
Two teams over there have got the distance derby. We should send the name...
We should steal it back.
What, by moving one of the teams?
Relocate, move one of the teams.
Relocate them to, like, closer. Christmas Island or something.
Do it. Do it.
Well, we could buy the Russian team and relocate them closer to the other Russian team.
Get Fiji to join our competition, and then Perth could play Fiji.
Yeah.
Bing. There you go. Distance Derby's back.
Distance Derby, we've got it.
It's back. We have Gold Coast United versus Melbourne Heart FC at Skilled Park, Gold Coast. Massive protest to be held there by all three Gold Coast United members who are left because people are asking for refunds after the club said that they're closing three of the stands.
Yeah. Are they actually asking for refunds, do you think?
Yes, people are actually asking for refunds.
Well, that's
now.
To be honest, that's fair enough because they've got their seats. Those seats should be guaranteed for the whole season because you buy a membership in the knowledge that you get. You're buying the seat, really,
exactly,
for those home games.
Yeah.
And for them to shut a bay, it's so disappointing. And the reason that they shut a bay is on the back of the Boxing Day game.
Apparently.
That's what the letter that came out from the club said. And it was mainly Brisbane Roar fans that were upsetting on that day with the flares. Gold Coast fans, to my knowledge, I was there. It was such a friendly atmosphere. There were 7,000 people there. Yes, there was lines out the front waiting, but that was the club's fault.
The club's fault for not opening up two ticket booths or three.
2 years before, when this game was happening again, they got 11,000 in, and so they should have been prepared for this Boxing Day game.
Yeah.
They should have opened a lot of the stand. They should have opened the whole place, really, for at least that one game.
Odd thing is, they told Fox that they would open all four stands, and then when Fox arrived, the club said, "Sorry, mate, we've closed off one of them." And Fox weren't too happy about that.
Yeah, no.
And then 20 minutes into that game, when there were still 1,000 people waiting out front, I sent a message to Murray Shaw.
It wasn't 20,000 people. That was about...
It was 20 minutes in, about 1,000 people.
Oh, sorry.
Bit ahead of yourself there. I sent a message to Murray Shaw to say, "Look, mate, what's going on? There's still people waiting out front." He's just like, "No one told us that there were 1,000 people waiting out front until Adam Peacock actually walked out there to find out why people were still walking in." Now, there just needs to be that little bit more communication.
Communication.
That would be really helpful.
But it's not just communication. It's understanding of the game that we're in. It's football. Like, to close off the home bay, they opened it up, but they closed it off before. When they originally brought in the crowd cap, they closed off every stand except the eastern stand, I want to say. Or is it the... One of the stands.
The
one behind the camera.
The one behind the camera, so it looks like no one's at the game.
They listened to their home fans,
they listened
the beach,
to the beach.
And they opened up the home bay.
Yeah.
And then they opened up the away bay for the Brisbane game, which is great. The back and forth between the two fan groups was great. The atmosphere was amazing. It felt like there was a lot more people there than there was. Because of that, I guess because of the stadium, it's so enclosed that even 7,000 people feels quite good. But to close it back up again, come on.
Well, we also see a lot of the We Are Football flags across Skilled Park. Now, normally we would see like two or three of them.
That's two.
Now that we have three of the stands closed, are there enough We Are Football flags in the country to deal with this issue?
We're very happy to provide some football sack flags for you to put up there.
Now, admittedly, I have a We Are Football flag. It took me a long time to get one from FFA. I don't think it would fill up a bay.
No. But there was a lot of
We have those mini flags.
Yeah. We could get heaps of those on every seat.
Get your grandmother to sew them together.
Yep.
and we will make a massive We Are Football banner out of the We Are Football flags.
Bear in mind, we've got three stands to fill.
I think the next biggest issue is, will it get past security? Because I know security is pretty tight.
Pretty tight up
with,
there.
With bringing up banners. So
my mum, when we were up there, I took my mum to the Boxing Day game.
Yeah.
She did manage to get in a water bottle.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kudos to her. Let her pass. Well done, Gold Coast supporters.
Let's move past this Gold Coast game. Good luck to all the supporters possibly protesting. Hopefully we can resolve this issue.
Fingers crossed.
Pete, I would like to pose to you what you thought of Big Wednesday. And for this segment, I think we have to have a bit of a sound effect.
Pico Supernova.
Big Wednesday, in theory, was fantastic, but in practice was rubbish. Okay, FFA had the entire season to plan out Big Wednesday, to make it a massive event, to actually make it big, because when you're using an adjective like big, you'd think you'd actually want to make it massive. Big, that's what would kind of give it away. Didn't work. Now, I would have thought sponsorship, for one, would have been massive. So, okay, for instance, if it's going to be a marathon of football, what helps you in a marathon? Powerade. Could you not have said to Powerade, okay, can we call this the Powerade Marathon of Football or Powerade's Big Wednesday? I think that would have worked. For instance, like if you say, okay, I want to buy a blue Powerade, I'll give you $2. That $2 goes towards, say, Prostate Cancer Foundation or something like that. That could have worked. If you buy a pink Powerade or a red Powerade, you buy $2 for that. That goes towards breast cancer awareness. Is that so hard? I'm a 22-year-old kid who makes this stuff up, has no marketing experience, and yet they pay people to mess up stuff like this. I just think that's absolutely wrong. Why on earth are you going to make a massive event like Big Wednesday and then just be like, oh yeah, it's a Twitter hashtag, Big Wednesday, follow us here. That's it.
That was Pico Supernova.
Pete, we will edit the expletives out of that rant there. I'll just get rid of them all together.
Beep.
I disagree. I understand where you're coming from, but I do.
10 hours of football in a row.
You didn't enjoy that? I had a lot of fun watching all the games and interacting with people on Twitter.
But if you went to the games, you couldn't experience it. That's true. I drove up to the Central Coast, so that's 2 hours up there.
Yeah.
Then that's 2 hours at the Central Coast game, and then 2 hours back. So it actually meant that I watched the first half of Wellington-Sydney.
Yep.
And I watched part of the Adelaide-Melbourne Heart game, which was on when I was at the pub. That was it. That was the only bit of Big Wednesday I could experience.
What they're doing is really looking at the TV audience. NRL does it really well. If they didn't have a TV audience, their crowds that they get to home games are similar to the A-League, really, when you look at it. But they're really successful, so they're pandering a bit to TV audiences. Possibly people that can't get to games. A lot of people don't go along, watch a lot of A-League on TV, but don't get to the matches. For me, it was great. I enjoyed being on Twitter. I enjoyed the marathon of it. It was not an adventure, but it was an event. I think event is a good word.
Okay, if we were going to use this as a massive event, would you not have liked to have seen Big Wednesday be played on free-to-air? Because we are still fighting for this TV right still, apparently. That's what Ben Buckley's hired to do. We hear nothing about it. But if you're going to make a massive event, could you not make it like a once-off? This is free to wear.
Yeah.
And SBS could have done it. ABC could have done it.
The only thing I have with that is that Fox do a really good job with the coverage. You'd have to not give it to someone like... I remember when Channel 10 took the LA Galaxy Sydney FC game and they massacred it. So you'd have to be worried. Just make sure that the coverage...
Admittedly, I was at the game, so I didn't care what was happening.
Yeah, the coverage was less than... It was a lot of shots of David Beckham. Any shot they could get was just...
Who wouldn't want a shot with David Beckham?
Moving
on.
But no, I do like your idea about putting that one day on free-to-air
and
advertising the league.
I know there are a lot of people who will probably argue with me about this, and don't forget, you can argue with me on Twitter. It's at Pete Nowakowski. If you don't know how to spell it, then don't bother sending me a message.
Nowakowski with W's.
Yeah.
I'm just pronouncing it like phonetically so that people can... Yeah,
or just... I don't know, send a message to the football sack and I'll
read it. At the football sack.
At the football sack. Follow us there and we can read all your messages there. But looking at one thing, I just want to, a couple of things I actually want to get out of the way here. Andrew Durante signed a new 3-year deal with Wellington Phoenix. Kudos to him. It's a good deal for him.
Nice one, mate.
Yeah, he was linked with Sydney FC during the Champions League campaign. And
he was, but never really 100%.
Nah, he was always going to stay at Wellington.
He's a Phoenix boy.
Like we said, Matty Simon, he's gone off to Korea. So goodbye, Simon. Hopefully he returns someday soon as a champion, if the A-League's still alive.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see him go on and do some good things.
Bigger and better things.
He's had his time in the A-League. He's come up right up from the junior leagues, and good on him. Good on him for making it up to the next step.
A lot of people were making the link that he's too physical to make it in the K-League, that people are going to be just flying off him.
He's really improved his game recently. It's changed since his first season in the A-League.
Well, you look at Sasha Osanovsky, who he used to be very physical, now he's very technical after a couple of years playing over in Asia. So I think it's going to be the same instance for this for him, and we could see him in the Socceroos sometime very soon.
Yeah, a bit more of a permanent fixture.
Fingers crossed. Ange Postecoglou.
What
about him?
I can tell you what about him. He had some very interesting words to say.
Choice words.
Choice words at halftime and at full-time for the Brisbane Roar to his players. We had some microphones in the dressing rooms. Now, Fox Sports, they haven't had coverage of the microphones in the dressing rooms, but here at the Football Sack, we have managed to get a hold of them, and here is what it sounded like.
Half-time in La Bombonera Stadium, and England trail Mexico by 2-0.
Have you ever got the crowd f***ing shouting? Bastards are bastards are bastards are they shouldn't be f***ing shouting at me! They should be shouting at you! And do you know why? Because it's f***ing half-time, and we're f***ing 2-0 down to the f***ing Mexicans! F***ing wrong with it! Get your f***ing fingers out! Where's your bottle f***ing gone? I'm trying to f***ing pay attention without talking to you. If you don't want to wear the shirt, get off. There's thousands of kids out there who die and put that shirt on. Back on the field, show me what you can do or off home on a plane. You got that?
England lose 4-0.
Brisbane Roar have a 3-3 draw with Perth Glory.
That was what happened at halftime out at the Brisbane Roar Perth Glory match.
Interesting that we can actually get audio that, and yet Fox can't.
It's exclusive audio here from the Football Sack. We've also got a lot of other exclusive content, including Athea Slatia blog.
Nice one.
Each week she contributes. She's Matildas and Sydney FC defender. Great player. Great person as well, because all her blogs are very interesting and a great read each week. So this week's latest one is up, so you should check that out online at thefootballsack.com. There's a lot of other things on there on thefootballsack.com, Pete.
Is it?
Yep.
Such as?
There is this awesome ladder predictor, so Hyundai A-League ladder predictor, which you can go to. Not only can you check the recent results, check the ladder as it stands, but you can update it to whatever result.
So if I say that Sydney FC have a 110 goal win
over Central Coast, which is probably what happened.
What do you think that does to the ladder?
Well, that will update. Well,
okay, let's have a look at Sydney FC's goal difference at the moment. It's minus 4. So if we plus 110, so that's plus 106 then.
So there'll be a plus 106 goal difference.
Awesome.
And you can update the table however you like.
Nice one.
So get on that.
Yeah.
That's on thefootballsack.com under the predictor tab. There's also, we've got a whole range of A-League match reports. Obviously, each week we do the match reports there. We also do a lot of W-League match reports as the season has been getting to its climax.
Well, we've just had week 11 of the W-League. Couple of major results. Canberra 5-0 win over Adelaide. Brisbane Roar getting a 3-2 over Newcastle Jets. Sydney FC 3-0 over Perth Glory. And Melbourne Victory had the easiest game of the week. They had a bye.
So all those match reports are up on thefootballsack.com.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Finally, on thefootballsack.com, obviously, there is this podcast. You can get on and listen to that. What you should do with this podcast, is tell your mates.
Tell your mates.
Spread the word about
tell
the Football
Sack.
Tell
one person. That's your homework this week with the Football Sack
podcast. Dear listeners.
Tell one person who doesn't already know about the Football Sack the Football Sack. Like, if you're off to an A-League game, sitting next to someone, just be like, wait, do you listen to the Football Sack podcast? Done.
That's
all you need to
do. I like it. Each week, Scott Condon, who is our Melbourne Victory correspondent, he writes The Crossbar, which is a weekly blog highlighting the likes and dislikes from each week's round of football. Last week, I was lucky enough to take part in writing that.
Lucky?
Well, I had a lot of fun writing it. Okay. I don't know how it was, whether people liked it or not, but, you know, it was a lot of fun to write. Hopefully cool. It was a lot of fun to read.
Yeah.
But we will have Scott Condon back into the writing folds very soon. So look out for The Crossbar, a weekly blog.
Brilliant.
That about wraps up all the news from Football Sack.
I will pass on one more piece of news, and that is for Brisbane Roar supporters, you can start celebrating. Broich and Enrique are set to return to Brisbane Roar's first team next week against Sydney FC.
Bam.
Boom.
Wow, and that'll be great because Nicky Carl is back also, and hopefully he hasn't succumbed to another injury by then.
Could be the best of the best up against each other, so...
Both teams out of form, so both teams looking for points.
So it's more of the worst versus the worst. And
middle versus both, middle.
Middle
let's
versus
say.
Middle. Okay, yeah, cool.
That has been the Football Sack Podcast. Thank you, Pete, for being on the show.
No worries. See you next week.
Thank you to all our listeners. As we said, tell a friend. I've been Matt Greenlaw. Thank you for listening to The Sack on Sunday.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia. Yeah.